A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel's got a thing about shredding documents while traveling. Not just a casual preference. He's the guy in the hotel room at midnight with night vision goggles and a pair of scissors, methodically destroying prescription labels while his in-laws wonder what exactly their daughter married into. But beneath the gag, he's asking something practical. Prescriptions in Israel carry your national ID and address. Boarding passes, bank slips, customs forms. You accumulate sensitive paper on the road, and most people aren't disciplined enough to carry it all home for proper shredding. So he wants the nuts and bolts. How do you destroy documents with bare hands or whatever's available? What mobile shredders exist for travel? And where do people go wrong? The failure patterns where you think you've shredded something, but it's actually reassemblable. He's also calling you out directly, Herman. Says after your pediatric days you spent years traveling between Russian capitals in service of some shady cabal, so you must have field experience with this. How did you actually do it, and what would you recommend keeping in a suitcase?
I prefer to think of it as consulting. But yes, I did spend a lot of time in places where you think twice about what you're throwing away, and Daniel's right, the prescription thing in Israel is a perfect example. Those pharmacy labels have your full name, your 2-dot Zehut number, your address, and sometimes the medication itself, which tells anyone who finds it what condition you're being treated for. That's not nothing.
It's a medical privacy breach and an identity theft vector in one sticker.
And you can't always burn things in a hotel room without setting off the smoke detector and having an awkward conversation with the front desk. So let's start with the obvious question. Why does this even matter? The FTC put out a consumer alert in June of last year that's actually useful here. They listed specific documents you should shred, tax records, medical bills, bank statements, anything with account numbers or signatures, and documents you should keep, like birth certificates and property deeds. The travel angle adds a wrinkle they don't really address, which is that you can't always bring documents home to shred. You need to do it on the spot.
And there's something else in Daniel's question that I think is worth naming. He calls it a ruse to make his in-laws wonder about him, but it's also a ritual. The night vision goggles are a bit, but the act of stopping and thinking, what am I throwing away here? That's a mental checkpoint. That's a privacy practice in itself.
It is. The ritual forces attention. Most privacy failures aren't sophisticated attacks. They're people not noticing what they're discarding. So we've got three layers here. Technique: how to actually destroy paper with what's available. Tools: what you can buy and carry. And failure modes, where good enough isn't.
Let's get into the weeds. How do you actually destroy a document with what you have on hand?
Bare hands first, because that's the baseline. The single biggest mistake people make is tearing along the text lines. If you take a prescription or a bank statement and tear it horizontally, following the lines of text, you end up with strips where each strip contains complete words or entire lines of readable information. You've reduced the size of the paper, but you haven't actually destroyed the data.
So you're just making a puzzle with bigger pieces.
Right. The technique is to tear perpendicular to the text first. Go across the lines, breaking up the characters. Then take those pieces and cross-tear them. Tear them again at 90 degrees. What you're aiming for is pieces small enough that no single piece contains a complete word or a full-digit sequence. For an ID number like a 2-dot Zehut, which is 9 digits, you want to make sure no fragment has more than 2 or 3 consecutive digits.
And the paper fights you on this, right? Most documents are printed on paper that tears cleanly in one direction and resists in the other.
That's the grain of the paper. Paper has a grain direction from the manufacturing process, and it tears beautifully along the grain and jaggedly across it. So your first tear should ideally be across the grain, against the easy tear, because that's what breaks up the text. Then use the easy tear direction for the crosscut.
I'm picturing someone in an airport lounge doing grain analysis on a boarding pass.
Look, if you're going to do this, know your materials. But the practical version is just tear both directions and don't stop until the pieces are confetti. Available implements help. Scissors are the obvious one. Cut the document into strips, then turn the strips 90 degrees and cut across them to make small rectangles. Knives work too, especially for scoring a fold line that you then tear along cleanly. And if you're tearing over a trash bin, you get the added benefit of scattering the pieces among other waste, which makes reassembly harder.
That scattering piece seems underrated. If someone pulls a trash bag and finds a single torn document in a pile of identical-looking pieces, that's one problem. If those pieces are mixed with coffee grounds and apple cores, it's a different problem.
It's a huge difference, but let's talk about the limits here. Hand tearing, even done well, produces pieces that are maybe a quarter inch by half an inch at best. A proper cross-cut shredder produces particles as small as 1/32 of an inch by half an inch. That's an order of magnitude smaller in one dimension. Hand tearing is better than nothing, and it's probably sufficient for most threat models, but it's not the same level of security.
So that's the segue into mobile shredders. What actually exists for the road?
There are a few categories. The smallest are manual hand-crank cross-cut shredders. They're about the size of a thick paperback. They fit in a briefcase, and they handle maybe 2 or 3 sheets at a time. You feed the paper in and turn a crank, and it cross-cuts it into those small particles. No power needed, completely silent, which matters if you're trying not to announce to the neighboring hotel room that you're destroying documents at 2 in the morning.
Silent shredding. That's a phrase that sounds like it belongs in a spy novel.
It does, but it's practical. Then you've got small electric units that run on batteries or USB power about the size of a large pencil case. They're faster but louder, and now you're carrying another device that needs charging. The trade-off with all of these is capacity. A home shredder might take 10 or 15 sheets at once and run continuously. These portable units do 2 or 3 sheets, and then you're cranking or waiting. If you're destroying a single prescription label, that's fine. If you've accumulated a week's worth of sensitive documents, you're going to be there a while.
And the FTC alert you mentioned emphasizes cross-cut over strip-cut. Is that the baseline recommendation?
Yeah, and it's worth understanding why. Strip-cut shredders produce long ribbons of paper, maybe a quarter inch wide, but the full length of the document. Those strips can be reassembled. It's tedious, but if someone is motivated and the strips are from a single document, it's doable. There are documented cases of identity thieves piecing together strip-shredded documents. Crosscut, also called confetti cut, turns the paper into small particles. Reassembly goes from tedious to nearly impossible, especially if the pieces from multiple documents are mixed together.
And microcut goes even further.
Microcut produces particles as small as 1/32 of an inch by about half an inch. For a single sheet of paper, you're looking at thousands of particles. The reassembly problem becomes exponential. You're not just matching edges, you're trying to find which of 3,000 near-identical rectangles belongs, next to which other one, and the text on each particle is maybe a partial letter. It's effectively unrecoverable.
So if Daniel's shopping for a travel shredder, crosscut is the floor, microcut is the ceiling. What does the word flow actually look like on the road? You're collecting documents over a trip. What do you keep? What do you destroy immediately?
Sort as you go. The prescription with your ID and address, that's an immediate destroy. Boarding passes have a PNR, a passenger name record, and a barcode that links to your booking. Destroy those. Bank slips, ATM receipts, anything with account numbers or balances. Hotel folios sometimes print your full address and credit card details.
Hotel folios are the worst for this. I've seen ones that print the full card number, expiration, and sometimes the CVV.
It's astonishing what hotels print, so those get destroyed on the spot. What you keep for home shredding, if you have a proper shredder there, are things that are sensitive but not urgent. A magazine subscription label with your address, a utility bill you needed for some reason. The threat model matters here. Are you worried about random dumpster divers, or are you worried about someone targeting you specifically? For most travelers, the random threat is the realistic one, and hand tearing plus scattering is probably enough. But Daniel's prescription example is interesting because in Israel, that document ties a specific person to a specific address and a specific medical condition. That's a richer target than a generic credit card receipt.
So we've covered technique and tools. But here's the catch. Even if you think you've shredded it, you might not have. Let's talk about where people go wrong.
The classic failure pattern is the one I mentioned, strip shredding or tearing along text lines. But there are subtler ones. The biggest is incomplete destruction. You tear up the body of the document, but leave the envelope with the barcode intact. Or you shred the bank statement, but the account number is also printed on a stub that you didn't notice. Or you destroy the prescription label, but the bag it came in has a sticker with the same information.
The backup copy problem.
Pharmacies in Israel often print duplicate labels. One on the medication box, one on the bag. If you only destroy one, you've done nothing. Another failure pattern is destroying only the obviously sensitive lines. Someone tears out the line with their ID number and throws away the rest of the document. But the rest of the document has their name, their doctor's name, the medication. That's still a privacy breach, and it's still enough information for social engineering.
I'm calling from Dr. Cohen's office, just confirming your prescription refill, and now they've got the rest.
Right. The entire document is the sensitive document, not just the line with the number. Another pattern that trips people up is uniformity. If you tear a document into identically sized squares and throw them all in the same trash bag, you've made the reassembler's job easier. They know all the pieces are from the same document, and the uniform size means they can grid them out. Mixing with other trash helps, but also varying your tier sizes helps. Make some pieces bigger, some smaller, so there's no obvious pattern.
The barcode problem seems worth dwelling on for a second. A boarding pass barcode, even a torn one. If the barcode itself is intact, it scans.
It does. Barcodes have error correction built in. You can damage a significant portion of a QR code or a PDF 417 barcode, and it'll still scan. Those are on boarding passes, shipping labels, prescription labels sometimes. So the barcode itself needs to be destroyed, not just the human readable text next to it. Cut through it, tear through it, make sure the pattern is broken.
I've seen people carefully tear around a barcode because it's on a sticker, and they don't want to deal with the adhesive.
That's the worst of both worlds. You've preserved the most machine-readable part of the document. The psychological angle here is worth unpacking. Daniel mentioned the night vision goggles as a gag, but the ritual aspect, the deliberate, slightly absurd performance of destruction, it serves a purpose. It makes the act memorable. You're more likely to actually do it if there's a routine attached, even a silly one.
The ritual is a compliance mechanism. It's the same reason people have elaborate coffee-making routines. The ritual ensures the behavior happens.
And it forces you to look at what you're throwing away. Most people don't. They toss documents in the trash without glancing at them. The moment you stop and think, do I need to shred this? You've already improved your privacy posture, because you're actually reading what's on the paper.
So let's get to the part Daniel specifically called you out on. Your years of, let's call it fieldwork, traveling between Russian capitals. What were you actually doing, and how did you handle document destruction?
I was doing medical logistics consulting, for the record. But yes, it involves sensitive documentation, patient records, supply manifests, things that you really don't want floating around in the wrong hands. My approach was layered. First principle, minimize what you generate in the first place. If you don't need a printed record, don't print it. If you can receive something digitally and encrypt it, do that. The best destroyed document is the one that never existed on paper.
That's the don't generate sensitive documents school. But when you had to?
When I had to, I carried a small manual cross-cut shredder, one of those hand crank units I mentioned. It weighed maybe a pound, fit in my carry-on, and nobody ever questioned it at security. For quick destruction, tearing and burning where possible. A metal wastebasket and a lighter works in a pinch, but as I said, smoke detectors are the enemy. I also made a habit of destroying documents incrementally rather than letting them accumulate. One document at the end of each day, not a stack at the end of the trip.
Why does that matter?
Because a stack at the end of the trip means you're tired, you're rushing, you're packing, and you're more likely to do a sloppy job or forget entirely. Daily destruction is a discipline thing. It also means that if your room is searched or your bag is stolen mid-trip, there's less to find.
That's a threat model most tourists aren't thinking about. But in some places, it's real.
It's real. And the final layer was mixing. I never threw shredded or torn documents into a trash bin by themselves. Always with food waste, used tissues, whatever else was going into the trash. It doesn't have to be elaborate. Just don't create a bag that's nothing but paper fragments.
What would you actually recommend someone keep in their suitcase today, if Daniel's putting together a travel kit?
A small manual cross-cut shredder is the core item. They're $20 to $30, they last for years, and they don't need power. A pair of small, sharp scissors, useful for cutting barcodes out specifically before shredding the rest. A permanent marker for redacting small sections if you don't need to destroy the whole document, though I prefer full destruction when possible. And honestly, a small roll of tape.
Tape?
Tape over sensitive text before you tear it. It makes the paper harder to reassemble because the adhesive gums up the edges, and it obscures the text underneath. It's a low-tech addition, but it adds friction for anyone trying to reconstruct.
That's clever. I was going to ask about water, too. Soaking paper.
Soaking works if you have time. Paper turns to pulp, ink runs, it's very effective. The problem is drying time and mess. You need a sink or a tub, you need to let it soak long enough to actually break down, and then you've got a wad of wet pulp to dispose of. It's effective but impractical for daily use on the road. I've done it, but it's not my first choice.
What about burning in a sink? Metal basin? No smoke detector directly overhead?
I may have done that once or twice. I'm not recommending it. But if you're going to, do it in the bathroom with the vent fan on and keep water nearby. And don't burn plastics. Paper only. Prescription labels often have adhesive and plastic coatings that produce nasty smoke.
This is the kind of practical detail that only comes from having actually done it.
I'd had some learning experiences. But here's the thing I want to emphasize. The goal isn't to make reassembly impossible, it's to make it impractical. If someone is willing to spend 40 hours reconstructing your pharmacy receipt, you've got bigger problems than document destruction. You're being targeted by a state actor or a very determined stalker, and you need a different threat model entirely.
So what's the reasonable standard? What should the average traveler aim for?
Crosscut or equivalent hand tearing, pieces mixed with other trash, barcodes destroyed, and the whole document destroyed, not just the sensitive lines. That stops casual dumpster diving and opportunistic identity theft. For the person who finds your trash bag on the street, they're not going to spend 3 hours piecing together your prescription. They'll move on to the next bag.
And if you're in a higher risk category, journalist, activist, someone carrying sensitive business documents.
Then you move up to microcut, you destroy daily, you consider burning where legal and safe, and you think hard about whether you need physical copies at all. Digital documents with strong encryption are harder to intercept than paper in a trash bin, but that's a different conversation.
Herman, you've been quiet. But before we wrap, our producer Hilbert has a bone to pick with this whole premise.
I do. And I want to be clear, I'm going to argue the other side here, because I think there's a legitimate question about whether any of this is worth the effort. The FTC alert you mentioned, it also says not every document needs shredding. And the reality for most travelers is that the risk of identity theft from a discarded prescription or boarding pass is negligible. Modern identity theft is overwhelmingly digital. Data breaches, phishing, credential stuffing, that's where the action is. Not someone picking through a hotel trash bag hoping to find a readable 2.zehut number.
That's fair. The threat landscape has shifted.
It's more than shifted. The time you spend cross-cutting a boarding pass in your hotel room is time you're not spending on actually effective privacy measures. Updating your passwords, checking your credit report, enabling two-factor authentication. I worry that the physical shredding ritual gives people a false sense of security. They feel like they're doing something, so they neglect the digital stuff that's far more likely to get them.
I don't think those are mutually exclusive. You can shred your documents and practice good digital hygiene.
In theory, sure. But people have limited attention, and the physical document threat, I'm not saying it's zero, but for the average person on a business trip or vacation, it's vanishingly small. When's the last time you heard of someone's identity being stolen from a torn-up prescription found in a trash can?
It's hard to track because most identity theft victims never know exactly how their information was obtained. But you're right that documented cases of physical dumpster diving are rarer than digital breaches. I'd still argue that targeted attacks are the concern. Not random identity thieves, but someone who knows you or someone who's specifically interested in your medical history or travel patterns.
That's a different threat model, and it's a valid one for some people. But Daniel's framing was prudent privacy practice for everyone, and I'm pushing back on the everyone part. For most travelers, tearing up a boarding pass by hand and tossing it in the airport trash is perfectly adequate. The marginal security gain from carrying a portable shredder and doing cross-cut destruction in your hotel room, I don't think it justifies the effort for the average person.
I think where you and I might disagree is that I see value in the habit itself, separate from the specific threat. The ritual of looking at what you're discarding and making a conscious decision about it. That's a privacy mindset that does carry over to digital behavior. It's not either or.
Or it's security theater that makes you feel diligent while you ignore the unpatched router in your home network.
That's a fair hit. But I'd say the prescription example is genuinely different from a boarding pass. A boarding pass is transient. The flight happens, the PNR expires. A prescription label has your national ID, your address, and your medical history. That document has a longer shelf life for abuse. So maybe the answer is triage. Some documents are worth the effort. Most aren't.
Triage, I can get behind. The blanket, shred everything approach, I can't. And I think the travel angle actually makes my case stronger. You're already carrying a passport, a phone, probably a laptop, navigating an unfamiliar place. Adding document destruction to your daily routine is, for most people, a distraction from the actual risks.
I don't think we're going to settle this, and that's fine. It's a risk trade-off, not a clear win for either side. The threat model dictates the response.
That's all I'm saying. Know your threat model before you pack the night vision goggles.
So where does that leave us? Hilbert's right that digital threats dominate, and for most travelers, a torn-up boarding pass in the airport trash is probably fine. But the long tail of paper isn't going away. Prescriptions, visa paperwork, customs forms, hotel folios. These persist, and they carry more data than people realize. The question is whether physical shredding becomes obsolete as more documents go digital, or whether it remains a necessary skill for the paper that sticks around.
I think it's the latter. We've been predicting the paperless office for 30 years, and I still get a printed receipt every time I buy vegetables. The paper isn't going anywhere. What's changing is that the paper that remains tends to be higher stakes. The things that can't be emailed, the official documents, the medical records. So knowing how to destroy them properly becomes more important, not less, even if the volume goes down.
And the portable shredder market might actually grow as more people work remotely and travel while handling sensitive documents. The hand crank unit in your briefcase might become as normal as a laptop stand.
Or the apps that digitize and then you shred the original, that workflow makes a lot of sense. Scan the document, encrypt the scan, destroy the paper. Best of both worlds.
Daniel's night vision goggles are overkill, but the habit isn't. Thanks to our producer Hilbert Flemingtop for keeping us honest. As always, this has been My Weird Prompts. If you've got a question about privacy, travel, or anything else you'd like us to overthink, email the show at show@myweirdprompts.com. We'll be back soon.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The host dig in, the host dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, until next time. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.